When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
CarCast is brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar is an ultra-thin coating that reduces radiant heat by 90%. This stuff is the real deal, people. Put Zybar on, take heat off. Visit Zycoat, Z-Y-C-O-A-T, Zycoat.com. Mm-hmm. Now it's Zycoat.com. Yeah, get it on, man. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Welcome to CarCast, man. Lots of action in the car world over here. I don't know why. Maybe it's the Monterey weekend thing, but I feel like things have picked up a lot. We're what I've been doing, and that's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea over there, fresh off the Monterey weekend. So lots to talk about now.
Oh, what an incredible week.
What a week. I have been, I toggle in between two modes. I'm always in two modes. One of two modes, not fully at the same time. I do car, work on, rehab, fix, race, whatever, and then I stop and I do a house.
Yeah.
I do a remod on a house, and then I go back to car. And
yeah.
But once I go house mode, like I was doing my kitchen, I'm all in on the kitchen. That's the way I approach it. My whole deal is, I am going to be unhappy from the day we first emptied the first kitchen drawer and started pulling out drawers of the old kitchen to go throw in the back of the pickup truck to demo out the cabinets. From the day I pulled out the first drawer to the day I finish putting the grout in the backsplash on the tile and everything's completely done, in that time period, I'm unhappy.
Okay.
And so,
and always frustrated.
I would like to shrink that. See, a lot of people approach it like, oh man, this is daunting, or I'm burnt out, or you know what, I killed myself last week doing it, so I'm just going to take this weekend off. And my thing is like, I'm hitting it every day as hard as I can because I want it to go away as fast as it can go away.
Yeah,
that's the way I approach it. So the kitchen and the backyard and the pool and everything just become this all-consuming endeavor. It's like every Sunday night, I'm making a huge list of stuff we got to get to. I'm constantly just walking around thinking, oh man, what's the lead time on those tiles? We got to order those tiles.
Yeah.
You know, what's the lead time? What's the lead time on the glue lamb beam? Who am I ordering that glue lamb beam?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when I'm done, and now I'm into cars.
Yeah, but your mind gets so distracted as well, because I remember, you know, this happens all the time. I'll talk to you and say, hey, do you want to do this thing on the car? Maybe it's time to send this to the shop or start working on this. And you're like, I'm just too busy with the house right now. Let's do it when the house is done. Because your mind is completely distracted with the pool and the tiles and drawers. And now you need to focus. You know, you shift your focus to the next thing.
Right.
You know?
And I do. So it's either car or house.
Never
for me.
Work?
Work is always something that is the... It funds the car and the house.
But it's more like muscle memory. You know, it's kind of a rhythm. You come in.
It is weird. It's a weird thing. Well, no, I mean, I'm closing my eyes because I'm trying to think clearly. It's not muscle memory in the sense that I think somebody said something to me on Twitter the other day, which was they said, you're mailing it in. And I said, I never mail it in. I never mail it in. I I don't have that gear, that mail-in gear. Not every show is as good as the last show, or not everything is as good as this was or as good as that was, but I don't have a cruise mail-it-in mode when it comes to anything creative that I do. I have too much ego for it.
I would agree. Absolutely.
There's no podcast where I just kind of go, let's just get through this and I got to get out of here.
Just the rhythm of you come in, you have a schedule, you know what you're, you know, and then once you're in the room, it's different. But
yeah, once I'm in the room, it's time to go. But I don't like, I mean, I see other shows. It's like there's other shows like, you know, Opie and Anthony. He's there, and he has a couple comedians with him on every show, and he sort of moderates, you know? And that's his style of doing it, but it's like...
Does it feel like
Chelsea
he's mailing
Handler.
It in? You know, does it feel like that kind of thing?
It's more... I think it's more playing to a strength.
Okay.
Or avoiding a weakness or whatever it is, but it's like Chelsea Handler's made millions and millions of dollars, but you go do her show, she has a panel of comedians, and she's throwing it from one comedian to the next... Yeah. Comedian, my problem is we have a guest on the show and I don't let him talk. So
that's happened once, maybe twice.
I never mail it in. I'm always burning calories, and I'm not critiquing those guys. I'm just saying, like, everyone develops a style that suits their strengths or their weaknesses. I have weaknesses as well, but I never come in here and just go, let's just get through this, but. Unlike some of my contemporaries who pretty much just like, you know, Jimmy Kimmel eats, drinks, and sleeps comedy.
Yeah.
He just thinks about comedy. And he just thinks about creative endeavors. And he has his family, has his passions. He loves food. He loves cooking. He loves entertaining and things like that. But comedy is like on his mind.
Yeah.
All the time. And... For me, it's like just cars are on my mind all the time and or building is on my mind all the time. And then the comedy. Look, I figured this out in my apartment in, 1985. I was just sitting in my one bedroom apartment with my three roommates sweltering because there's no air conditioning and staring at my Mazda. I had a long bed Mazda, not rotary. It's a Mazda 4 banger. Must have been like a 78, 79. Long bed, red.
Mini truck. I love the long bed mini trucks. It's like they're trying to be a big boy, but they're not quite there.
Just staring out the window at that piece of shit. My motorcycle probably leaning against it. And I just went, shit. How am I ever going to get a car?
Yeah.
I got to get a car. And then I went... And also, how am I ever going to get a house? I got to get a house.
Yep.
So then I thought, what could you do to get some cool cars and a cool house? And I thought...
That's legal.
Yeah. I said, I'll do comedy. Like, if I do comedy, I could get a car, some cars, and
really?
A house.
Really? Did you think you were funny up to that point?
I looked at it... I didn't think I was funny and that anyone ever told me I was funny, but I did know how to make people laugh.
Okay.
That much I knew. Not family members, but outside of the family and most of my close friends, I could make other people laugh. Okay. Like I understood how to do it.
Yeah.
I intellectually figured it out. I was like, good with hands, good with jokes, good with comedy. I have a good sort of building mind. And I have a good comical mind. I wasn't like I'm a comedian or I'm a joke teller or stand-up or a writer. I just have a good I knew like if you have a good musical ear or some people are good with language or animals or like, you know, people have their good with things. I was good with the hands and I was good with comedy. I knew I was good with comedy. And I was like, one of these things means I'm going to be driving a pickup truck for the rest of my life, and the other means I could be driving some bitchin' sports cars.
Right.
And even own a garage to park them in.
Yeah.
And so I just went, fuck it, I'm doing a comedy. But that was my 10-year plan. Like, I'm not starting tomorrow. So...
That wasn't a bad plan. I think it paid off.
It did, but as soon as I... A few years after I started making a living doing comedy, I shifted immediately back to the houses and the cars. And then the comedy is just the in-between stuff.
It's different when you have the ability and you like those things, but then it's a job. Like, if it's a job, sometimes it feels forced. And then when it becomes a hobby or something you can do on your own, then it becomes far more relaxed, more interesting. You know, you don't have to build houses now because that's where you're going to eat.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no.
Now you could build houses and mess around in your kitchen and build shit and buy it.
And farm out all the bullshit.
Yeah, and it's all your idea, and you get to plan, and you get the guys come in and do some of the work, and you get to stand there and yell at them. Like,
yeah.
But the end result is what you pictured in your head, and it's much different.
Yeah, and I know I'm the guy orders the glulam beam. I'll do the cutting of the glulam beam because it's expensive and it's a 3-week order. And then I'm the guy who figures out we got to go get the genie lift to lift this 500-pound beam up into place. And I'll put in the beam like with the guys. But then, you know, I'm not getting out the orbital sander and stripping off the paint or doing the whatever.
No, you're the surgeon.
Right.
Somebody else is going to button up. Sew up the wound. I'm done.
But let me tell you this, everybody, because I do get a lot of these people in my life where they go, oh, you did the kitchen. Yeah.
Yeah.
You did it yourself? Yeah, myself. You did it all by yourself or you had other people? I had people help. Yeah, I'm not going to haul
everybody
garbage.
Has.
I'm not going to demo out the stucco and, so you did it with other. And first off, fuck you. Let me tell you something. Max Pata.
Hi.
Who knows more about this shit than I do? Nobody. I could fucking build everything. Yes, I could do everything myself. I will answer honestly. I can do everything myself. I choose not to because it's a waste of my time to demo out drywall and drag it to a dumpster. But yes, I could. Yes, I have. And I have done everything myself. I can. Did you build the cabinets? No. I farmed it out. But I've worked in a Euro cabinet shop and I've worked in a standard cabinet shop and I've built hundreds of kitchen cabinets. I know exactly how to do it.
It's like the director of a film. He could be, you know, the cinematographer. He could be even like the
craft
producer.
Service, bitch.
Craft service. Yeah.
Everything.
He knows everything.
Yeah, but has that director done all of those fucking jobs?
No, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. I am telling these guys they got to go order a conformat screw because I know what a conformat screw is, and I'm the only human being on the planet who's even heard of a conformat screw because I used them when I installed custom closets with Born Again Gangbangers. So, yes, I can do all of it myself. I choose now not to because it's a huge waste of my time. And I'd be much better off getting paid quite a bit more doing something else and then kicking that guy down $20 an hour to do what I could physically do, but yeah. I choose not to. Yes? That being said, taking that big old glulam beam, I mean, I got a 6 by 16. I mean, you guys don't know what a 6. It's weird. Like, you people don't think. We'll get to cars in a second. People don't know. People think like they don't know when someone says they have a 12-foot ceiling. They don't know how high that is.
Yeah.
And when I tell you beam is 6 inches by like 16 inches, you don't know what a huge beam that is. But that is a huge old beam.
Yeah.
And get that bad boy into place. Like get it up into the attic above the ceiling line.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, well, that's that. That's where that genie lift comes in, man. You ever use that genie lift?
I've seen them. I haven't used one.
They work, man. They work real nice. All right, so we did a million things. I mean, we did a million things. I didn't drive. Long story. We'll get you that in a second. There's a question up here for. So I just see Jay Leno's name. We saw him on the lawn, at Pebble Beach. So, Brian, 58.
Yes. How are you doing?
Good, man.
Need to sell some cars.
You need one? I know. I need to sell cars.
Oh.
I'm trying to sell cars.
I've got 80 of them.
You've got 80 cars?
And trucks, yeah.
Let me make this observation about guys who have 80 cars.
Well, let me clarify something right away. I don't have a wife. That's how it's possible.
No, that's good. Step one. But I've known the guys I know, at least I've seen chronicled on TV shows where you're walking through the woods.
Yeah.
And there's like a tree growing through their Buick.
Yeah.
Speaking of women, I would rather have one 10 model to bang than a harem of twos.
Yes.
And it's kind of the same way in the car business. Like, I think I would rather just have one Lamborghini SV Miura than a 80 cars rusting out in the in the yard. And we'll see if Brian over here has got the 8. Give us your top 5 out of the 80 in terms of value.
Oh, gosh. That's hard to nail down, but I've got a 65 Shelby GT350.
Ooh, 65.
Nice.
Griffith, 65 Griffith Series 400.
Hold on a second. Hold on.
Half port. No.
Hold on.
Come on. You can write faster.
No. People don't realize the 65s are much better than a 66. They're much more coveted. That was the purest one.
Yeah, the first year.
Yeah. So 65, what kind of condition is that thing in?
It's a super nice Survivor.
Wow.
Tragically, it does not have original paint, but the rest of it is.
Okay. Well, that thing's
that's
worth
so good.
265,000 miles. I bought the car high mileage so I could drive it and enjoy it, and that's what I've been doing.
Wow. Now, the Griffith, I'm trying to picture that one. It's 65.
And they made 59 of them.
What was the power plant? Was it a Chrysler or something?
Ford Hypo 289.
Oh. Is it like a fiberglass-bodied car?
Fiberglass-bodied, tube steel space frame. It weighs about 1,600 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a kick-ass little car.
It's faster than a modern motorcycle. It's a ton of fun.
All right, that's a nice piece.
All right, what else is on your list?
68.5 428 Cobra Jet Mustang, 30,000 original miles, original paint, original interior.
Nice.
Okay.
Poco blue.
Ah, I like that 66
blue. 66 Fairlane, 427 in it.
Big black. Nice. One more.
Sunbeam Tiger.
Ooh.
Yeah, I like those.
Saving the best for last. 260 in that thing?
Still the original 260.
Sweet little car. I like those.
Love it.
I love those cars. And they're going up in value. And it's the kind of thing where it's kind of like what the 190 Mercedes is to the 300 Mercedes, which is, how much is that? That's 1.1 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, how much is that one? That's 200 grand. Oh, or $150. Ooh, I'll take that one. Yeah, that's what the Sunbeam is that to the Shelby.
Yeah, I like those.
And the Shelby
is the most ignored performance car of its era.
I agree. The Shelby started with a 260 in it, by the way. So, Brian.
Well, the first Cobras,
Yeah, sorry, that's what I meant. You want to sell some of these things to Leno, or what do you want?
Well, what I'm getting ready to do is market the Griffith.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2,400 original miles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm third owner. I'm the first one to license it and title it. It was the drag race record holder in its class on the East Coast, 65, 6, and 7.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Hold on
one second. Max Pata. Say the car one more time. Show me a picture of it. I'm not sure Max Babb is showing us the right picture. Say it slowly for
Chris. 86.5-inch wheelbase, but it's a 65 Griffith Series 400.
Series 400. Okay. So let me make sure.
The Series 200 had Cobra taillights, and the Series 400 has Lotus taillights.
Okay, yeah. Hit the one you're hitting upper left there, Chris. Yeah, it has Cortina taillights.
Lotus Cortina taillights, yep.
Is your car a street car or a race car?
No.
It's a race car that I've turned back into a street car.
Okay. And what's a car like that worth?
Conservatively, I was told $200,000.
Nice. I've seen some of those on the racetrack. I've raced with some of those on the racetrack. I don't feel like the ones I raced with had the 289 in them, though. Maybe they had... Did they have a Alpina version of that, like a smaller, like a four-cylinder version?
Well, the prior car to the Griffith was the Grand Tourer, which they made Marks 1, 2, and 3, and the Grand Tourer Mark 3 was a four-cylinder MG-powered car.
Oh, yeah.
You see a lot of those on the racetrack.
Yes, and they look similar, right?
They look identical to a Series 200.
Okay, so that's what I'm looking at, or that's what I'm racing with.
Series 400, the front of the car looks the same, but the back half is different.
So what's Leno? Leno's looking for that Griffith?
I heard through the grapevine Leno was looking for a Griffith, and I thought, I've always liked Jay. Well, I've always liked you. Anybody that wants to buy it can have it, but I've tried to get a hold of Jay in the past on collector cars that I've come across, and he's a hard guy to get a hold of.
Well, Max Zapata, pick up my phone.
Okay.
Find Jay's shop. And let's just call it on the air and see what happens. See if Bernard picks up or Jay picks up.
Yeah.
And see if he wants that. It's a 65 Griffith.
Yep.
We'll try to do it. If Jay's not there, Bernard may know something about it.
Let's ask him.
Okay.
All right. Hang on a second. We'll do that. We'll get back to you. Maybe I can make a love connection here. Let me talk to you. Someone wants a Datsun down here on line three. Hey, was that DeMario? I can't read what that name is from here. What is that?
Demetrio.
What's going on?
Yeah. Hey, Adam, Matt. Nice talking to you guys.
Hello.
29, calling from Orange County. What are you looking for?
So I'm a big Datsun fan, and I'm looking here for the trigger on my first one. I know the 240, 260s, they're highly desirable. Everyone wants them. They've gone up in price ridiculously. But I'm married with two kids, and I also want to be able to take the family out. So I've been looking at the 2 plus T.
The 2 plus 2, yeah, the 280, yeah. And a 280. And they did it. Did they do a 280 ZX and a 2 plus 2 or just a 280?
Max yeah, the pass. ZX as well.
Oh, they did a ZX as well. All right.
Yeah, but those are 79 to 86
right.
ish.
Yeah.
But I found a 1974, pretty smart. And I'm wondering if those 2 plus 2s will event, will eventually kind of
are you looking for an investment car, or are you looking for something fun? I mean, this is your first Datsun. Maybe you want to start something with something you're going to drive.
Screw the kids. Anything with a back seat goes down in value. Look, you take a Ferrari 365 or GTBCDF, whatever.
Yeah.
And
versus,
a
412?
You literally take the same car and you put a back seat in it, and it's dropped $200,000 in the price.
Well, look at the 330 versus, the 2 plus 2 versus the GTC, like you're saying.
It's you drop $250,000 when you put a back seat in the car. So, and also, to be quite honest, as a Z guy, the Z 2 plus 2 is an ugly car. I like the race. I like it in race trim, mine.
Yeah.
But the street version is a pretty ugly car, so I wouldn't do that. I'd get a Z. I'd get a straightaway Z, or I'd think about a 2000 Roadster. And look, as far as these people go, hey, I want to get a collector car, but I got kids. I got kids too. Fuck them. Number one and number two. That's why the old lady's got the Odyssey, right? You don't need the kids for their car. Let them take turns.
That's right. Yeah.
Doing burnouts with daddy.
Get your fun Datsun sports car and Dodge Caravan.
Max Pata.
Hey.
You want me to call the shop or did you call the shop?
We're getting him online right now.
You got Bernard?
We have Bernard line two.
Okay. Hey, Bernard.
Hey, Adam.
How are you, man?
Hey, Bernard.
Doing good.
It's Matt.
What do you, Matt's over here too. We're just doing a little CarCast podcast. What are you working on?
Oh, right now I'm working on a 1922 Brough motorcycle.
Perfect. You never disappoint, Bernard.
Yep. Awesome.
It's always something crazy that we've never heard of. Is Jay around today?
No, I believe he's in Chicago today.
Oh, okay. Well, you got to pay the bills.
That's right.
What are you working on?
That's why Bernard's working on his motorcycle,
Bernard, it's got to be your motorcycle, right?
No, that's Jay's motorcycle.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, we're being recorded. I understand.
I understand.
I saw you with Kowski on the side hack tearing it up up at Willow Springs on Leno's Garage, man. That thing was kicking ass.
By the way, sorry to hear about your fire.
Yeah, we're rebuilding, though. So.
Luckily, you have the greatest shop in the world to go and rebuild your bike.
It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I got this guy, Brian. The reason I called is a guy named Brian. He's from Washington, and he's got a car, and he thinks Jay's looking for this car, but he's unable to get hold of Jay and or anybody at the shop. And I thought, well, maybe I can just broker this deal. But I you know what Jay's looking for, right?
Sort of.
Yeah.
What's he got?
Well, can I just tap line two and then what? Hit line one? Let me see. And then hit line one? Hey, Brian, are you on?
I'm here.
Bernard, you still on?
I am.
Oh, man, look at us.
Wow.
Hey,
technology.
Man.
Nick's all happy because it worked. I can't believe it worked.
It's Make-A-Wish Foundation time for Rich Whitey. Rich old Whitey. So, Brian, this is Bernard. Bernard is the brains of the entire operation over there at Leno's Garage. And Bernard is, he's too humble to talk about it, but he's a mechanical genius. The man made himself a side hack or two-man motorcycle, racing motorcycle. He brazed the frame himself.
Yeah.
He brazenly brazed it himself. The guy's a mechanical genius. He's worked on everything. Brian, what car do you have that you hear that Leno's looking for?
65 Griffith Series 400.
Bernard?
A Griffith, huh?
I think you just answered your question, and let's...
Yeah, continue your excitement,
that's
Bernard.
That's just unusually enough that he might be interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard him say that he's actually looking for that car.
Okay.
But we can certainly approach Jay and see if he's got any interest in it.
Hey, Bernard, also, Brian has 80 cars, so Jay may want another one that's in his collection. Now, I know he told me he had a 65 Shelby, and I know Jay has one of those.
Right.
Not just Shelby, Mustang.
Right.
And I heard his sort of top five, but this Griffith is kind of interesting, especially with the 289. He's got the
V8
one in there. It's kind of a kick-ass little car. And it is funky enough. I would say... Bernard, you tell me. Jay likes stuff that's a little off the beaten path, right?
You know, he likes unusual stuff. He also likes technically advanced stuff, even for their time, you know. So some of the mechanical aspects of a car will interest him more than the provenance of the car is, you know.
And I think what Jay has, or you know, what the Griffith has going for it, Brian, is it's a very lightweight, small car with a big power plant. And I think Jay likes the little stuff with the big pop, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
That is one of his weaknesses. I mean, who doesn't? What car guy doesn't?
And like you said, it's rare. What they make?
50
Brian, something? Like 50 or something.
Yeah, it's a pretty rare car, and it's kind of funky-looking, kind of unusual car. That's why I say it might be just unusual enough for him to be interested.
Well, does Jay keep a list, or do you have things that Jay's looking for
He's not really actually looking for anything, but we get calls like this all the time, like almost every day, of somebody selling something interesting or maybe interesting.
You're kidding. I'm not the first one to think of this.
You know, there's a lot of opportunities for him to buy stuff, and you know, every now and then he finds something that he thinks is exciting, and oftentimes it's not, you know.
Well, Brian, I'll tell you what, why don't we have Brian? I don't want to get Jay's all messed up in this, and I know you got to get back to work on your side hack, although you're telling us you're working on a 22 something. Why doesn't Brian send us a few pictures of the Griffith, and I'll forward those along to Jay and you, and we'll see if we can't make a love connection.
Yeah, you can send your photos to CarCast.
CarCastShow@gmail.com.
There you go.
All right. Hey, and Bernard, I'm going to come see you over there soon because I got a friend who's dying to see the joint. So
okay, put your working clothes on. We'll put you to work.
I just drink sodas over there. I don't actually work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That'll work for me.
Thanks, Bernard. We'll see you soon.
Okay, talk to you later.
All right, there's Bernard over there. Wait, I'm going to try to...
That's Bernard's radio voice. He was all chipper.
Bernard's usually surly. So that's Bernard over there. Now, Brian, hold on. Hey, Brian?
Yep, still
Yeah, here. Well, it's not going to get too much better than that from Bernard. That I can tell you.
Right. Well, Bernard's thrilled by his enthusiasm.
Oh, listen, Bernard's one of these guys where I'm like, hey, you're going to race at Laguna Seca for the, Rolex this year? And he's like, yeah. And I go, I'm going too. And he goes, okay. And I go, I'm bringing Paul Newman's GT1 championship car from 85. And he'll go, oh, there you go.
Cool.
Yeah, he's right up there with my dad.
Well, I wish Bernard was my dad.
I can do the photo thing real easy for you if you went to RiggsBoysRacing.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole photo array.
If you email us, include your contact information so we can pass that along.
Yeah, do that, and I will forward it along to Jay and Bernard, and they will render a decision. Although, to be fair, it's orange. It's like grabber orange, too. We're looking at a picture of it.
Yeah.
Kind of a cool, funky, cool car. The problem with cars like that is they are so exotic that no one really knows what to make of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I didn't recall what it even looked like.
They don't. There is this point in a car world. I know it because I'm the guy who's had a Lamborghini 350 GT that they made 123 of for the last 8 years. And in the last 10 minutes, people kind of get it. But like for the first seven, I don't know, probably I got to figure out how long I've had that car, but it's about 8 years. I hadn't found myself describing it to everyone all the time. Like, what do you got? I got Lamborghini. Oh, what do you got there? Countach? Mirror? No, this is a 350. Oh, you got the Shelby? No, this is a three. This is a, oh. What? So that's, oh, this is, oh, is this after the Mira, but before the Diablo? And I'm like, no, this is the first one. This, some big wings and stuff. No, this is like a GT. How do I describe it? Like, nobody knows what you're talking about. Yeah. And
usually they lose interest after that because they're like, oh, I used to have one of those. Oh, it's not the same.
Right. They move on emotionally.
Yeah.
All right. So big news for us. We got the Paul Newman Holy Grail car, which is very, very exciting. Speaking of exciting, we'll tell you a little about that in a second. All right, let me tell you about betonline.ag. Mm-hmm. It's the holidays, and betonline.ag is in the giving spirit with two incredible promos. Create a free account and use the promo code podcast1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. And refer a friend. It gives them a 200% bonus to your friend, up to $200. Such a great gift. NFL, NHL, NBA, football or basketball, or entertainment odds, early odds on the Oscars.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a prop bet on the first host dropping out 2 days after getting the nod. Go online or use your mobile phone to sign up today. And try live in-game betting. Always makes it that much more exciting. Remember, use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. You can get the holiday shopping done early. Refer a friend. Use that promo, betonline.ag, your online sportsbook expert.
Let me tell you about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning. You can pick up some milk. Now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to drop off or pick up anything. If you just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
So the whole time I'm doing the documentary. So we're doing the Newman documentary. And now we get to Newman at Le Mans.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at the car. Some years ago, maybe at the very beginning of the podcast, somebody sent in a die-cast model, the ones that are like 7-8 inches long. I don't call them 1/16th or something. I can't remember. We have a stupid scale. Why are we using a scale? You know what I mean? Like, you know, no one can hold up a car that's the size of, you know, half a shoebox and go, what percentage of this, of the real car is it? Why don't we just say 6 inches?
Yeah.
10 inches?
Yeah.
Like, we had to do the stupid scale thing. It's a 1/16th scale, a 1/32.
Yeah, I don't know what it
is. I don't even know what it is, but it's the big matchbox car.
Yeah.
You know, it's 7.5 inches long.
Yeah.
And they sent, I think, a GT40, and they sent maybe for some reason a 512 Ferrari race car, and they sent that Porsche 935.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
it's in the glass shelf in the wall over in the other shop.
Yeah.
The product shop.
Like,
oh, we walk past it every day. And I'm like, yeah, that's the car.
That's the car. And I'm like, I'm keeping that bad boy. And we did the movie, and I found myself in the, just in the edit bay, just staring at that car, just staring at that Porsche. It's Newman climbing in and out of it. And little Dickie Barber from La Mesa, California.
Little Dickie Barber.
Climbing in and out.
Somebody
and then,
emailed me like, Dickie Barber was 350 pounds and he was physically 2 seconds slower than Paul Newman. Like, just because of the weight issue.
And then we contacted Dick Barber, who owned the car and ran the car.
And he's great in the film. And
Dick's
told us
great
a lot
in the film,
film.
And Dick's got the trophies. And he's got the jackets. And he's got the whatever. And but I've always been like, where's the car?
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know where the car is. But who knows where the car is? And I think the car.
Whenever somebody says, I don't know where it is, I assume it's out of the countries, Japan, Europe, or something. Because
it's
in this country,
Florida,
we kind of like,
it's Germany or Florida, the game I used to play. This is like whenever somebody is a cannibal and meets someone online and they both agree to eat their foot, it's either Germany or Florida. And when you can't find a really cool car, it's Germany or Florida. Yeah, it's Europe or Florida.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that car is sitting in some private collection and it's never coming up again. And that's it. I don't know. The guy's going to die and his kid's going to have it or something. Like, who's to know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Bruce Myers has the 935 that won the race outright. It's sitting in his pad in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Is Bruce selling that car?
No. Occasionally he drives it down Rodeo in race trip.
Right. What's he doing with that car? I don't know. When's that car coming up for sale? Well, okay. Maybe Bruce dies at some point. Then what? You think his kids need the money from that sale of that car?
No.
His wife?
No.
But maybe they do sell it. I don't know.
Like,
if
they really like hate daddy and they're like, now he's gone, I'm going to get the bastard, I'm going to sell his car.
Well, if you need a quick $30 million, you can just sell one of his Ferraris and you'll be able to make your mortgage that month.
Right.
But, oh God, do I hate my dad. I got to take the lease. The Buick's been leased. I got to return it after the old man kicks the bucket.
You're stuck with the debt.
I'm going to end up arguing with the guy from the Buick dealership. That spilt coffee. Yeah, it's cloth interior, but it'll come out. I don't think that's a $700 surcharge.
No, like, the old man's dead. Why do I got to keep paying
for it?
This
is not the way he would have wanted it. So, when will that car sell? Well, I don't know. Never. Or not in your lifetime. Or good luck waiting around. I remember I used to feel that way when I wanted to do mornings. Like, I want to be a morning DJ, and it'd be like, Kevin and Bean are going into their 27th year, and when I wanted to do it, they're going into their third year. It was like, how's that going to work?
Right.
So I stared at this car, and we sat in the edit bay, and we
100 times.
Well, you know, I mean, yeah, you guys got to understand, when you're doing a movie, just sit in the bay, and you just keep tweaking, and that particular segment, and the reason that particular segment with Newman at Le Mans is because you can sit and edit Robert Redford's interview and Dick Barber and all that kind of stuff. But you own that footage. The Le Mans footage you don't own. You have to license it.
Right.
And guess who's really expensive? French guys who own Le Mans footage. So we had to sit there, and they're literally going, you know, it's $1,000 a second or something. And you're like going, okay, what can we use?
Yeah.
Can we use some stills that we do have licensed? Can we intersplice some Newman from something else that's not from the track? You know, we ended up getting some incredible footage. Like, I mean, there's that part where, like, it is one of these things where, you know, when, like, Dick Barber's like, we're in the middle of the race. We're, like, 22 hours into the race. We're leading the race, and some news crew just went up and started interviewing Paul, just pushing people aside and interviewing Paul. You got to realize you've been up for 22 hours racing a car. You don't even know. And you just cut to the actual footage of the guys like pushing Dick Barber out of the way.
And they're standing in front of the car.
And standing in front of the car and saying to Paul Newman, like, you're now in second place or third place or whatever it is. And he's like, what place are we in? And he's like, It's gold when you're making a doc, because it's like normally you talk about stuff and you go, wow. And then sometimes you'll do an illustration or recreation or something. Yeah. But the actual just cut to the footage of talking to Paul Newman standing by the side of the car in the middle of the race. But again, that stuff ain't free.
Right.
So you find yourself in the bay for long periods of time because you're trying to figure out ways, how can we tell our story but cut back on this licensed footage that's $1,000 a second, you know? And so I spent a lot of time on that. But always wondering where that car is and always wanting to see that car, get my hands on that car, drive that car. And then it came up for sale. And I knew it was going to be insanely expensive. I also knew that it one day is going to be worth $10 million. It's just, who has $5 million laying around? I don't have $5 million laying around, but it was like the window's going to open and then it's going to close. And then once it closes, that'll be about it with this car. You know, in my lifetime, you don't live to 150 or you can't drive them when you're 80. And Paul did, but I won't be able to. But, you know, so do you want this car? Or don't you want this car? Because here's your window. And we just went into a mode where it's like, what if we sold every other car?
Yeah.
And to get this car.
Yeah. This wasn't a fly-by-night decision, by the way. This was 8 weeks of conversations and us prepping
who
and talking.
Who can we borrow the money from?
Yeah, just...
What can we do? You know, and it was funny because...
just scrambling like madmen trying to get something done.
Somebody told me when it comes to selling all the other cars, not the Newman cars, but the Lamborghinis, to get this car, you know, was it the Porcelain Punisher? I think it was Porcelain Punisher said to me, like, hi... You're going to miss these cars. Like, how are you feeling about getting rid of all these cars that you've spent so much time with? And I said, I don't have any feelings about it because there's not an option. There's two options. One option is you don't get the Newman car.
Yeah.
The other option is you do get the Newman car and you have to get rid of all these cars.
But the excitement for the Newman car by far trumps the depression you'll feel for moving some of the other cars, I think.
Well, when I found out this Newman car was coming up for sale, and I sort of figured how much it was going to cost, and I knew it was going to be monumental, and we're going to have to sell a whole bunch of stuff to get it. You know, same thing Leno does when he like wants that Griffith. He's going to have a yard sale.
He's going to have to sell some shit.
I said, and this is how you guys approach life. When you're buying your next used Prius, Max Panna?
Yes.
But no, ask yourself. I said to myself this. All right, these cars that you're selling, can you get ones if you want to get them at some certain point in your life? At a certain point, Sonny turned 16, and I long for the Lamborghini Aslero that I once owned, or the Mira S that I once owned, or the 350 GT that I once owned. And I long to go up Pacific Coast Highway in that car with my boy. I can find one.
Yeah.
There will be out there. Every auction, I should clarify, Pebble Beach will have one 350, one 400.
Yeah.
And they're very rare. One is Laro.
Yeah, but that's the place that they'll be.
But
I mean, that's
they're around.
Yeah.
There's always one.
Yeah,
there right now, if you go to the internet, internationally, if you include the globe, you could find three or four 350s for sale, three or four S's for sale, two or three is Laros for sale. So I rationalize in my head that if I ever need one of those cars for some reason, I could get it.
Yeah.
I'll have to pay more. Because they'll
sure.
cost more.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, yeah.
Nobody wants that that thing where, oh, you sell a car for $50,000 and then you buy it again for $125,000. Like, that doesn't feel good
right.
on any level. But if you really want that car, that's the price and you can do it. This car, the Newman car, yeah. you're never getting another shot
There's
at.
Only one. That's the whole point. This is the only one ever.
Right. So we went to the auction and it was crazy. I mean, they. What did they start? $2 million?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
they opened
started
it at $2
million.
At and, you know, you take a breath, you're 9 seconds into it, and you're at 3.5. There are $2 million, $2 million, $2 million, $3 million, $3 million, $3 million. They're skipping around, jumping numbers. I'm like, that's not how math works. Slow down a bit. And, yeah, it was nuts.
Yeah, awesome. Matt got it. There was a little controversy at the end. Somebody bid by mistake.
I didn't even start in, so I was standing next to the guy at Gooding, and it's gotten up to $3.5 million, and I'm standing there, and he's like, "You should probably get in on this soon." So I didn't even throw the first bid until $3.6 million, and then it started moving, and then there was three guys in the room, myself and two others that were in the room, and I didn't even really know that at the time. It was just happening so quickly. And then it started to slow down a little bit at 4. And then at like 4:02, the third guy dropped out. Mm-hmm. And then it went to 4:03. And I was like, all right, you know, we talked. We had a strategy. I was like 4:04, starting to sweat, really starting to sweat. And the guy's like, going once, going twice. He's screaming at the top of his lungs. He's pointing his hammer and he's dragging it out. Going twice. About to hit the hammer. The woman behind me in the phone box goes, 4.5. I turned around. I was like, sit down. And then she's like, oh, wait a minute. She's like, no, not 4.5. And the guy goes, 4.5. And I'm like, oh, what are we doing that now?
We're just hammering this thing.
Yeah. And then he goes, she's like, no, I'm out. So she was apparently on the phone with a bidder. That guy was on the phone with two auctions at the same time, bidding on two cars at the same time, and he yelled 4.5 into the wrong phone.
What are the odds of that, though?
And so he had to back out of it. And she's like, I'm sorry. He's like, sorry, wrong phone. So I meant that for somebody else.
Same price, though?
So the same time. Really? It's the same price?
Yeah. Whatever he was doing, he yelled 4.5 into the wrong phone.
That's so bizarre.
Which is crazy. Wow. So, and
hold
then
on.
She,
where was my dad at that time? Because if I know that wily, rich old fox, he was probably home doing that. Yeah. He does that. Probably so, just sitting in his high back chair, stroking his beard.
She had me nervous at 4.5. I was like, we're going to have to bid 4.6. She says, I'm out. I turned to the Gooding guy and I was like, we just saved $200,000. And then the guy hammers going once, twice, and he's so dragging it on. He paused. Like, I thought he had a seizure, a stroke or something. Like, he was just standing there. And then he hits the goddamn hammer and he's like, sold. And there's a great photo that's posted and they're like pointing and yelling, sold. You don't see me. You just see those guys with the car off into the distance.
The thing that was confusing from where I was sitting is the chick was standing on the phone right behind you.
Right behind
so
me.
So he
standing
kept pointing. The guy kept pointing at Matt. And I was like, what's Matt? Who's?
Yeah. I told her to sit down because you're confusing everybody. But it was
so
fun.
She literally was on the phone with a guy who was doing the exact same bid for another car.
That's what I was told. Yes. That's how I understood it, which is amazing.
We got to find out. Anyway, we'll keep you posted on the car. We will go race the car. No mistake about that. Aaron?
Yeah.
39? Hey, man.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure, man.
So you had some frustration getting the various cars to various races, and then you also mentioned sometimes there aren't people to race with. So I was just wondering if you were going to come out and slum it with the B sedan crowd.
I had this conversation with a couple of guys at the track last weekend, and I would love to get together a B sedan, a 2.5 Trans Am run group, 5.10s. I always mention not for you, Aaron, but for the listeners. 5.10s, 6.10s, GTA Alphas, GTV Alphas, 2002 BMWs.
Yeah. Your
great
Bluebird.
Class.
You got the Bluebird.
Bluebird, tons of fun. They're a lot of Japanese cars. Unfortunately, they don't give them the love, but they need to start a big B sedan group at Laguna Seca.
I think
that would
be fun
racing.
It'd be a great
exciting
turnout.
Racing. It's all the cars that people kind of know from their childhood. Those Alphas, the 2002s, the 5.10s. Fun, fast, good drivers, very competitive group.
And they're cool guys. You've raced with them all a lot, and they're all great to go and hang out with and chat about cars and share information.
We're getting ready to go to, where are we going?
Coronado.
Oh, Coronado. And I just thought I'm going to bring that Bluebird. But it's right-hand drive.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to bring the Oldsmobile.
I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out today. But there's part of me that's just take that Bluebird out there. And it's lighter. It's easier. It's easier to do the trailer. Like, everything's just a little easier. And the right-hand drive, I think I can figure out.
Yeah, you want to drive around the neighborhood?
I think if I do a couple practice laps, I'll Okay. I'll get it down.
When is that
it's
race?
All cones anyways.
It's all cones.
What is that race? Do we know
September 17th and 18th.
Was that like Labor Day weekend?
No, it's after? The weekend, like 2 weekends after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's where I blew up my engine last year. And by the way, the track guys got totally pissed off at me because I blew up my engine and I just kept coasting.
Just dragging oil.
Just coasting out there. And I was like, well, look, it's the end of the only straightaway there is with no barriers or anything. Like I thought the rules were get away from whatever.
I didn't know you were like leaking oil or anything.
I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying to get out of the end of the straightaway.
Yeah.
So the guys were yelling. That's to drag me back to the pits. But anyway, I don't know. I think I'm going to bring that Bluebird right-hand drive, really cool piece car there. And if there's ever a track to kind of figure out how to drive a car with your shift with your left hand, I think that one's it. And I think I could get a few laps in and figure it out.
Yeah.
I've never really heard anyone complain that much. Like most of the guys I talk to do the right hand and do the left hand where they go, you get used to it or it's not that big a deal.
There's just like a T5 transmission out of a Mustang in that thing. So if you have some trouble, I have an extra T5 transmission.
Well,
I took it out of my Mustang.
If we can get our little driving simulator thing worked out, we can put the stick shift on the left hand side of it.
Oh yeah, try that.
And get a little time in. Not that Coronado has a...
You can pick a different
track. We can figure it out.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity breakdown. They rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to be stronger under pressure, helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times stronger, fool. Against viscosity breakdown than leading oils, Castrol Edge. Unlock the true performance in your car's engine today with Castrol Edge.
Zybar, I'll tell you guys about this revolutionary new product that we love here. We're excited about it. Zybar is an ultra-thin coating for manifolds, headers, turbos, tailpipes, mufflers, and tips. It has a thickness of 0.001 inch, which reduces radiant heat by 90%. It's the first DIY thermal coating of its kind. That's pretty impressive. It's non-corrosive and does not break down, even in 2,000-degree environments. It makes wraps, shields, and expensive ceramic coatings obsolete. You can use Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, and lower underhood temperatures. Zybar comes in 4 awesome colors. They got bronze, midnight black, cast silver, and Porsche gray that will make your engine a showpiece. We talked to these guys. I think they'll do you a custom color if you call them up and ask them nicely.
Yeah, it's a really cool product.
Zybar is available for purchase at Zycoat.com and many auto parts retail locations. That's Zycoat.com. It's Zycoat.com. Put Zybar on, take heat off.
But before we go, remind everybody, because we've getting a lot of questions, social media and stuff, why you weren't racing in LA.
Okay, back to the B sedan. I would be happy to run in that group. We had a car for the first time on the lawn at Pebble Beach. It was a host of things, which was one car didn't make it, the GT1 car. The other car was at a dock being unloaded, and we didn't think it was going to make it. The other car we're going to drive, the Pepsi Trans Am car, Newman car. Those guys were kind of pretty confident about getting it done, but when I left, that thing was not that close to done.
Yeah.
And it could have been done and brought out, but it would have had a whole bunch of stuff on it that had like never been used.
I mean, they got it together. It could have brought it up. I don't know.
The rear windshield's still not on it. I mean, but that's because they backed off it. But I'm saying this entirely new bodied car with lots of new stuff all over it. And I'm not so sure the windshield wouldn't have popped out. it was a lot of question marks. Yeah. So there were a lot of question marks. And I was sort of like, look, these guys are slapping this thing together and everyone's in a rush and everything. And then I found out my run group is Sunday. And I'm like, well, how am I going to be on the beach standing next to my car and running on Sunday?
And because you're showing a car, you have to be there to meet with the judges.
Right. So I called the powers that be, and I begged them to put me in Saturday's group. And when they said, no, we got 49 cars already, you're in Sunday's group.
Yeah, no go.
Then the decision was sort of made for me at that point. But to be honest, I was sort of relieved because the car was getting slapped together and it was going to be a little tough. It was going to be a hassle. And I was like, oh, good. All right, let's just crack a beer and walk around the track like everyone else and enjoy all the quail and all the other events and not have this clock ticking and all this stuff. And I think it turned out good. I think we all just had a good time.
And you finally got to watch your run group live instead of on tape.
The
one on Saturday, the one you wanted to be in.
Right.
That's the run group. We went over there. We saw those guys race. It was cool to see.
Yeah.
And now you know what now the Decon Lonzo looks like at the front of the pack.
Love that guy. I think the 935 won that race. With the Decon running
in
second.
Yeah, I think it was the black 935.
Yeah.
I don't think Kenepa was driving.
No, Kenepa starts at the back just to see how many cars he can pick off. Honestly. Cincinnati, Bogarts, September 23rd, that's stand-up. And then the Vic Theater, Chicago on the 24th, that's a live podcast. Live podcast everywhere. The crew's coming up. Everything's coming up. So just go to adamcarolla.com and figure out what, when, where. Support the show. Carcastshow.com. Bookmark us. Click bookmark us with the Amazon banner. All the parts you buy online through Amazon, just bookmark us. We do all this cool stuff. We bring it to you for free, man. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit carcastshow.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.